Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Review the existing ARA application. It's a long one, I would say in its current form, and of course I've notified Harold Dawson and his team. I don't support it in its current form. I think trying to match a public benefit with what that investment is, a proposed $58 million, is just something that we're going to have to look further into.
So the Hard Rock Reverb deal on Community Maritime Park and the what you would think of as the parking lot parcels is now on the kind of status. Here's why. Because remember, this was originally touted as not taking any public money. There was going to be no concession. It was just going to be a good deal and fun, wonderful. Well, now they've gone back to their pencils, and their pencils are telling them that this $250 million project is going to need an E-date for 20 years to rebate not all of the project, because some of the condos, those property taxes are still going to be taxed, but most of the project, like 70% of it, at something in the vicinity of $2.9 million a year. A lot of that depends on how you count things and where you add and detract. But in any case, they're asking for a fairly substantial chunk of money. The number that gets thrown a lot is $58 million, because if you do 2.9 at 20 years, that's $58 million. And the mayor, talking yesterday during his press conference, says, whoa, I'm not on board at the moment, because it's not clear to me what the public gets for offering this rebate. Now, one argument is, well, we get the collateral benefit of having this thing downtown, just having it and all of the, other money that it will bring. There is going to be some property tax generated, but he's saying, okay, but we're offering this $58 million, and what do we actually get for it? It's a perfectly fair question. So that's what he talked about yesterday.
To be clear, my opinion is just that on two fronts. Number one, the CRA continues to do its independent analysis of that request with our outside advisors, as the ARA calls for. My door is always open. My door is open on this opinion, we absolutely mean that. I just need more information to understand a $58 million potential request and what the public gets in return.
Yeah, so he's not saying no. And also he's saying I'm a no at the moment. But, the mayor doesn't have a lot of say in this. Right. So the CRA, the Community Redevelopment Agency, by the way, E-date. And I know a lot of times we take for granted that you know these terms, economic development ad valorem tax exemption, property tax forgiveness or property tax exemption. So think like when Southtown, the big apartment complex that, Quint did with the old P&J building location on the east side of town. There was an E-date on that. So they wouldn't pay property taxes for a while. Similarly, there were property tax rebates or e-bates on e-dates, rebates, however you want to call them. They're not the same thing, but the point, that's what it is basically for Navy Federal. This has been used a lot. Okay. And that's actually the big project. What was the name of it? Not Geron. What was the one we were talking about yesterday? Starts with a J, that the county is going to approve for, $100 million, 300 jobs at $75,000 a piece. Geronimo, that's the initial phases of approving an E-date for them. It's a very common kind of thing that gets done. What made this different was that we had been thinking that this would not require or ask for any. And, as I said, they have come back and said, whoa, we cannot do this. Things have changed. The P&J, Jim Little, had a good article about this. Basically, they say that without this E-date or rebate, other things that they would build are, not what you would want there. Not the same kind of thing, just a hotel. If they don't get the tax abatement, according to Dawson Company President Chief Operating Officer Tamara Bowens, she says, if we don't get the tax abatement, we're basically going to have to go back to the drawing board and try to figure out what our plan B is now. Okay, so the mayor says I'm a no, at least not yet. But then again, that's just my opinion. I don't really have a big say in this. But he wants to know, well, what is it going to cost us? Because just because they build a thing doesn't mean there's no cost to the city. And if you're not generating property tax revenue, how do you offset the costs of handling things like, say, fire service to a big new project, which is not going to be cheap?
this magnitude of dollars, I would remain a no on that, because it's got to be we need to build buildings to help build our tax base, but it's got to be a city that works for everybody. And when you think about just the example, a general fire infrastructure request to protect a building like that, back of napkin estimates would be probably a $4.5 to $5 million infrastructure investment on top of a $2 million recurring investment.
Okay, so $4 million up front, $2 million recurring. And you're talking about not collecting $2.9 million a year. Well, that's property tax money that could go to pay for the fire protection service that you have to provide for a massive project like that, right? If you're collecting the property taxes, then you're paying for at least, you know, the fire service maybe. How much is it going to cost for police? How much is it going to cost for other things in the city, right? Because the reason we provide services is because they cost money. How much are you providing to the city in exchange for the services that are being provided to you? That's what the mayor is getting at as a financial proposition. You're asking us to not collect a whole bunch of money. Is it going to not just, you know, not collect that money, but is it also going to actually cost us money because of what you're doing? And it is. And so how do you do that calculus? Well, that's the question he's asking. We'll come back to this in a second because there's a whole other way of looking at this. Fascinating. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. No accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. I-10, I-110, 98, 9 Mile, Highway 29 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
If you're like me, and I know you may not be, that might be a source of pride for you. Or you're like me, and that's a sort of, I don't know, everybody's different. You put off buying that next vehicle. Like major purchases, and you hear me talking about various kinds of them all the time, but the point is major purchases you put off. And part of the reason you put it off is because, well, it's a major purchase. Part of the reason you put it off is because the hassle of dealing with it. Part of it is because the hassle of dealing with the people you're going to have to deal with. And when it comes to buying your next vehicle, I know, you don't want to deal with the used car people. You probably don't want to deal with the new car. You probably don't want to deal with anybody involved in car sales. No offense to all of you great people who work in car sales, but most people don't want to deal with you because of you. I mean, unfortunately, some of you are great. A lot of you are not great. Well, at Frontier, they get this. And they understand that you don't want to deal with that kind of pressure, the feeling like they're manipulating you, the feeling like you're getting put through this process, you know, and especially if you're looking for a car and you're not even sure what, you know, make you want to buy. You want Ford, you want Honda, you want Chevrolet, you know, what Jeep, what do you want? And then you got to go to a bunch of different places, and every place you go, they want the same nonsense. You got to talk to them and meet them and show them your ID. You know, okay, I just want to go in one place where they got a bunch of cars and I can try them all. That's Frontier. Good quality used cars, a year to 4 years, 10 to 40 or 50. I mean, that's kind of the upper end. But, you know, one owner typically, maybe you're going to be the third owner, like one, maybe two owners. But good quality cars. They warranty them all to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they're all good quality cars. That's what, and no extra charge for that, okay? Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to this Hard Rock Reverb project and whether they should or should not get the E-date. Are they or are they not contributing enough economic value or draw visitor value to the area to justify rebating them? 2.9, and again, that number is a little bit in dispute, but let's just say, because it's the number people are talking about, $2.9 million over the course of 20 years in property taxes that would pay for services. And the mayor says,
just an anecdote of when we look at when we're going to give a discount on an abatement of that size, that doesn't take into consideration what the taxpayer is going to have to pay for.
Right, that's it. You know, that cost of a fire service, maybe a firehouse in that vicinity, $4 million plus $2 million recurring, are they going to take care of it? But again, he's just the mayor. It's just his opinion. He's not the key player in making any of these decisions, and he recognizes that.
It is my opinion on the second front, which is this is, at the end of the day, rests with this board, the CRA board. There is no legal requirement nor ARA requirement that this have the approval of the mayor of the city of Pensacola. Ultimately, this is a financial decision that rests with the CRA, and frankly, they don't need my support.
Now, I want to pair this analysis about the Hard Rock Reverb project and the E-date with another topic that he discussed at some length yesterday that, I don't know, I personally found really fascinating. the question of the Bay Center, which there's going to be a joint meeting coming up on April 16th with the city and the county. We've got the city's done kind of its survey of the population. We're trying to figure out what to do. Should you use any portion of the tech park? Can you use any portion or all or some of the tech park? That's what the mayor said yesterday. We could use part of it. I mean, if you're going to have parking for whatever happens to the tech park anyway, why not use some of that to make parking now? Some ideas. But the question of the cost involved in whatever we do with the Bay Center renovations and or an athletic field house type situation and or a large convention center type space and or an ice rink and or a hotel. I mean, you know, there's a lot of possibilities. But he says we tend to sometimes look at this as how much is it going to cost us? How much direct revenue is it going to generate? And are we going to be making money on the deal? And he says that's maybe not always the best way to look at it.
If we snapped our fingers and we had a convention center or a multipurpose facility, any of the facilities, they said this very clear in their study and in the meeting yesterday, none of these facilities make money solely operationally, right? If you look at it, and sometimes detractors of facilities will look at it siloed only as, well, can a convention center make money or not make money? And I made the point yesterday, the county in Escambia County, the beach doesn't make money, right? It's admission is free. So if you look at the beach as its own facility, we pay to renourish it. We pay, as a community, the county spends a lot of money maintaining it. You got to have sheriff's department out there, you know. So if you look at it isolated to just what the asset is and what it costs us to protect, then national parks, I'm sure Yosemite National Park doesn't financially pencil, but what does it do for the surrounding economy? That's the question.
I know for some people, I saw it on John's face, the reaction of that analogy is like, what'd you say? What'd you say about my beach? But he's right. It costs you, the Bob Sykes Toll Bridge costs you $1. But, you know, the beach is free. The parking is free. But it costs the county a lot of money. It costs the SRIA a lot of money to provide that free beach. Why do we do it? Because we're nice people. No. Okay. The real reason is because economically, we know that that beach is a massive generator of other revenue, of activity, of quality of life, right? Same thing for any park. The beach is a park. You don't think of it that way, but it is. Same thing for something like the Bay Center. In and of itself, it's very tempting to think of the Bay Center or like Roger Scott or the golf course. Are these things that, you know, do they make more money than they cost? Well, every public facility is going to be some blend of subsidized by the government and revenue generating by the people who use it. And then also the spinoff money that you get from bed tax and sales tax from it bringing people to town or from people in town spending money in a certain way. And that's the point, is we rarely have these things just plain justify themselves on like the ticket price. You know, it's not $20 to go to the beach and then, you know, so many million people go to the beach, then the beach pays for itself. It doesn't work that way. Instead, we spend money on the beach. Those people spend money at, you know, restaurants and hotels and activities. Those folks, that's property taxes, that's bed taxes. And that pays well more than the cost of the beach itself, or at least that's the idea. He says, think of the Bay Center the same way. We're going to put money in, but it's going to create money in other ways, not necessarily the price of attending some event at the Bay Center.
And so I think we have to always respond. If we're going to talk about the Bay Center or a second facility or both, what you're really looking at is the ROI is in bed tax that would be generated by having conventions in our downtown and sales tax. So you can't look at it just in the silo of operational profit and loss. You, of course, you want it to break even as best as you can, or make money, God willing. But the secondary mechanism of return on investment is happening outside these buildings. It's not because you expect it to happen. You know, we 85% of our tourism here comes for the beach. I think there's a return on investment for the beach existing. And no one says, I can't believe no one charges to go out on the sand, or I can't believe how much we spend to renourish, because we know the treasure that it is and the reverberating economic impact it has on our community.
And I know some wingman out there is like, man, we should charge for the beach. No, no. And some wingman is like, we should charge for parking. No, dummy. He's not making that point. He's saying the opposite. He's saying we give it away because that generates so much in return. And this is, for example, one of the things that will happen when they do the renovations and or the larger project for the Bay Center is they're going to bond tourism development tax money. So you're going to take the bed tax money that's coming in as a revenue source, and you're going to use that as a payoff, a bond that they're then going to issue to generate a much bigger slice of money to use now, and they're going to pay it off for years, and which makes perfect sense because the idea is, I'm not saying that any deal makes sense. I'm saying that conceptually it makes sense to borrow against that because that's revenue coming in that you're intending to generate more of because more people are coming to town and staying in, for example, the hotels and generating bed tax money.
I don't look at the Bay Center project any differently than the idea that we're supposed to be building the most cost-efficient, cost-neutral machine to generate bed tax and property tax that helps refuel the economy.
Anyway, I just thought it was a very clear analogy, a very useful way to think about that and other things. And now that same analysis you might put towards Hard Rock Reverb, right? If we give the E-Date of $58 million, will it generate enough bed tax, although that doesn't go to the city, or will it generate enough sales tax? You know, will there be enough revenue, economic benefit, and other collateral benefits to justify that E-Date or not? And, I mean, that's an open question at this point. And that's what he's asking for is, persuade me, you know, persuade me that it justifies. 625 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. Looks like I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. It'll be April the 11th at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April the 11th.
Nothing says like an ice-cold Coca-Cola. So to celebrate America's 250th, drink in the fireworks, share bubbly hellos, and embrace every fizzy feeling with the refreshing taste of an American classic. This summer, pick up a Coca-Cola at your favorite retailer. Happy 250th birthday, America.
The Leadership Pensacola Class of 2026, our community's premier leadership development program, is turning leadership into action.
Take a leap with us.
The Leadership Class of 2026 is stepping forward to create a healing garden for Gulf Coast Kids House.
A calming space designed to support children on their healing journey.
Together, we can turn leadership into lasting impact.
Lead with purpose and build healing.
To support this project, visit PensacolaChamber.com.
Join us in growing hope.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a redneck by its toe. If he hollers, let him go.
Memory is a funny thing because I can absolutely remember that Mickey and Mallory Knox were the characters in Natural Born Killers, but I can't remember the name of the person I just met 28 seconds ago. Why is that? It's not fair. It's not right.
You're getting older, my son.
Yeah, I know it. it.
Okay.
David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Of course, the big news today, President Trump saying Tuesday was a big day for world peace. Trump posting out, what were you calling it, Trump Social?
I'm calling it Trump Social.
Okay.
I think that's a...
I kind of like that.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, if he had named it Trump is the best president ever social, would we be obligated to call it Trump posted on Trump is the best president ever social every time? No, I mean, it's absurd. So Truth Social is a bit propaganda-y for me. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, he posted a statement that Iran has had enough along with everyone else and says that the U.S. will be helping with the traffic buildup in the Strait of Hormuz. An American journalist who had been kidnapped in Iraq is now free. In a social media post, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said that Shelley Kittleson had been abducted by members of an Iraqi terrorist group. The group that was backed by Iran had held Kittleson for a week after she was kidnapped in Baghdad.
Thanks so much, David. Now I'm thinking of other things he could have titled. He could have titled it like Lock Her Up Social. You know, would we be obligated to say that? Biden is a buffoon social. Like, you know, just because somebody names a thing doesn't mean you have to say the thing if you feel like it's advancing an ideology or a fact that you disagree with or you think is false. So, just kind of like Lock Her Up Social. It's funny.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. A two-week ceasefire announced between the U.S., Israel, and Iran shortly before President Trump's deadline to make a deal or a whole civilization would die.
The two-week ceasefire is conditional on the Strait of Hormuz reopening to global shipping. It's been brokered by Pakistan, which has invited both sides for talks on a full peace deal later this week.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, Gulf countries still reporting incoming fire from Iran. Israel says the ceasefire does not apply to Lebanon and the Iran proxies there. Republican Clay Fuller winning a runoff election in Georgia to take over for Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I think it's incredibly important to make sure that we're fighting for the president's agenda.
His win bolsters Republicans' slim House majority to 218 to 214 with one independent. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 57 degrees right now with clear skies here across the area. We'll get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in a few minutes. The University of West Florida is set to announce their new men's head basketball coach this morning. UWF does have a press conference scheduled at 9:30 where they'll announce the new coach. UWF Athletics, of course, moving to Division I as of this fall as well. The men's basketball program will compete in the Atlantic Sun Conference. News Radio will have a reporter that'll be on hand at that press conference this morning. We'll bring you more coverage of that later today. The field of candidates hoping to become Florida's next governor getting crowded. The numbers are growing. The story from News Radio's Chris Bryan.
A record number of 44 candidates have filed to run as governor and replace term-limited Governor DeSantis. As of Monday, there were 14 Democratic candidates, 12 Republican candidates, 10 no-party-affiliated candidates, 3 independents, 3 write-ins, and 1 candidate each for the Constitution and Libertarian state parties. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Pensacola's new small-scale rental development pilot program got approval earlier this week. Mayor D.C. Reeves with a word of caution on that. He says approving the framework for that program is one thing, but a real test would be whether developers show up.
Sometimes I'm a little hesitant when there's been one example, a very valid one, and then you try to fix one problem and then maybe it's not the highest and best use. In my head, even though it's not called a pilot, I think hopefully our staff will get it out there and let's see how much interest. You know, the last thing we want to do is have money locked up in a something that is hard to hit or can't, you know, meet or has too high of a threshold from the banking community.
And the mayor, noting that that program is correctly labeled as a pilot, said he'll be watching closely to see how many inquiries come in. The CRA will be publishing an RFQ for a financial institution to help administer the program before applications open up to developers and property owners. Well, there's a couple big events coming to Pensacola Beach this weekend. The 10th Annual Firefighters Challenge at Casino Beach. That'll run Friday and Saturday with competitors from across the country tackling a 5-station obstacle course. Also a kids challenge as part of Saturday's lineup. And a separate event, more than 100 swimmers will be competing in the DeLuna Open Water Swim in the Santa Rosa Sound on Saturday morning. Both of those events are free to watch at Pensacola Beach. Santa Rosa Medical Center is having a flag-raising ceremony Thursday to recognize Donate Life Month. The event at the hospital on Berry Hill Road in Milton begins at 9 a.m. It'll feature remarks from a local mother whose child was an organ donor. They'll also have an ice cream social that afternoon. April is National Donate Life Month, dedicated to raising awareness about organ, eye, and tissue donation. 6:35 here at News Radio, 92.3, right now 57 with clear skies. And let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Pensacola Little Theater. Get ready to laugh out loud with Junie B. Jones, the musical from April 10th through the 12th. Tickets available at the PLT box office or PensacolaLittleTheater.com. Still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down on I-10, I-110. It all looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
We are going to be looking at a small 20% chance of some rain today. Otherwise, partly sunny skies, high near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 77. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Going into Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 78 degrees, and Friday night temperatures dropping near 61. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 56 degrees, clear skies right now. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Tensions in the Middle East are on pause. President Trump said he has agreed to suspend a planned attack on Iranian infrastructure for 2 weeks. This also includes the Strait of Hormuz being completely reopened for safe passage. Oil prices have shot way down as a result. West Texas Intermediate down by more than 15%, hovering at $95 per barrel. Brent down by more than 13%, currently sitting at $94 per barrel. Treasury yields are down sharply this morning following the announcement of a 2-week ceasefire in the Middle East. Yields on the 10-year Treasury plummeted more than 10 points to 4.2399%. Shares of India's largest airline, IndiGo, rose more than 11% as the U.S.-Iran ceasefire is likely to ease the strain on India's aviation sector. Indian airlines typically operate up to 350 flights daily to Gulf countries, but that number fell to roughly 80 to 90 a day in March. Futures have skyrocketed, with the Dow up by more than 1,200 points. That's Your Money Now.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Hear that? That's Mike. He took ZzzQuil Pure Z's, so now he's sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. ZzzQuil Pure Z's are fast-acting melatonin gummies with a complimentary botanical blend to help Mike get the sleep he needs to wake up refreshed and ready to conquer Monday.
Let's do this, Monday.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's. Just for sleep. Really great sleep.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
informative,
local,
dependable.
Day. This Wednesday, we'll be doing the groundbreaking of the wastewater treatment plant that Santa Rosa County's put in place. Long time coming. This is a great project. This is our package plant, and that was 1 p.m. Yeah, 1 p.m. this coming Wednesday. So a milestone in Santa Rosa County when it comes to wastewater treatment.
So that's today. The wastewater treatment plant, the package plant connected to the industrial park on 87 is going to do groundbreaking today. Joining us now by phone, we have Brad Baker. He is the Santa Rosa County administrator. And so we had the committee meeting yesterday. We had the regular meeting tomorrow. And in between, we have Brad Baker. Brad, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Good to have you. This is a big day. This is going to be, what, 250,000 gallons per day initial capacity? What's the eventual capacity for this thing?
Well, eventual will be 1 million, but the next phase that we'll be bringing to the board very shortly would be to immediately go to 500,000, and we'll see that probably in the next two meetings, I would say, to get that going. We've already kind of directed them by the board to proceed with 500, but with timing wise, we need it to be open, by summer of next year to meet some of our tenants' needs. So we're going to go with the 250 and then immediately upgrade it. And when I say upgraded, people think, oh no, you're wasting money. You have to build onto it, but it's really adding another cell. We designed it with four cells with 250,000 capacity in each one. So it's a matter of plopping another cell into that.
And this is just, I mean, similar to like sometimes you build a church and you build these new churches and they're designed to start at, say, 200 capacity, but go to 400, 600 if you need to expand it. It's actually built to grow in that particular way, right?
It is. Now, once we go above the 500, we'll have to come up with another, you know, spray field rib, okay, or whatever it is to dispose of it, unless we get a lot of reuse, which is was our desire, and we've planned that in our parks. But, you know, we do have a need for, obviously, being in the Blackwater River Basin and the Yellow River Basin, we need to get more people off of septic tanks. So we factored some of that growth for the development that's coming to East Milton as well. So, some of that capacity is going to subdivisions.
So primarily for people who, you know, I know this is kind of one of those things like you drive around the country and turn on the radio station, you don't necessarily hear a lot of talk about sewage plants. But it turns out that is a huge issue everywhere and particularly here, and especially getting people off of septic tanks and onto sewer. Obviously, Milton has been involved in their process of trying to find one for years, and they're kind of actually on track now to build one over the next couple of years, but you guys couldn't wait for that one has been the argument, and now you're building one primarily to handle the sewage needs of the industrial park and all the businesses that are locating there and building there, which is good news, but also some of that East Milton is, you know, some of those subdivisions, it's also going to supply those, right? How much of this mix is going to be the businesses? How much of it is going to be for the subdivisions? Like how much capacity for residential are you guys going to have?
Well, we did need probably in the 300 to 400,000 range for the eventual build out of the industrial park.
Got it.
But that's going to come in phases. So we feel like our growth strategy is going to handle that. Obviously, our priority is those tenants that are coming in with high-paying jobs and bringing revenue into our area. But the board prioritizing water quality, et cetera, we obviously wanted to look to see, you know, there's a range we can help. Obviously, we can't cross over into Garson Point or any of that, but we could help that immediate range around the industrial part with some residential. Now, we're not pursuing, you know, hooking up to older subdivisions. We're just trying to keep people from going on the septic if they're in that area.
Okay, so you're not remediating existing, just preventing future development of septic. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, at least not for now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Price tag on the current plant, the one that's the groundbreaking. How much is the first phase and the second phase going to be?
Total price is $32 million, and that includes going to both phases.
Got it. Very good. All right. Some things that are going to be on the agenda on Thursday. There's going to be a public hearing about the speed zones in schools, the cameras for schools. We'll talk about that in just a second. Brad Baker's on the line right now. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free and delay-free. I-10, I-110 are all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. So on Thursday is going to be the official hearing in order for the county to vote to approve. This would be what, the study phase, or this would be the actual implementation of the speed zone cameras?
It would be the implementation and adoption of the ordinance. Obviously, then you'd have to go through a procurement phase to acquire a vendor to install those. The sheriff has met with several of those that do it throughout the state and throughout the nation. And what's interesting, if you look at the data, I can't remember the exact percentages, but a high percentage of those in the study were exceeding 10 miles an hour over in almost, well, I would say all of the speed zones that they tested. So even your small rural schools that are all small or quasi-residential arterial type roads, we're still having them. I think of the one out here in Allentown that is almost at a four-way stop, yet there were people exceeding it by 10 miles an hour. So
that's amazing.
That's obviously a public safety concern. I will say that we have a few schools that are on Highway 98, and talking with the with Dr. Barber and superintendent there, she does not want to tackle those. So you won't see those schools on Highway 98 in this, because they don't sit directly on the road other than the new high school, which we haven't done a study because there's no schools on there yet.
And even those school speed zones are higher, right? I think they're 35 instead of 45. They're definitely not 25 or 20 even. Because it's a major road and they're at a distance from the road and there's all kinds of factors. There is a school speed reduction, but it's not the same as some of the other places. Okay. You also have on the Thursday, I think, is going to be, is it a discussion or an actual vote on the 1/2 cent renewal for the local option sales tax?
Yeah, it's just a vote to schedule the public hearing for April 23rd. We've been working with Trust for Public Land. They're going to make a recommendation for ballot language on the 23rd, and then the board will decide, are we going to, put that 1/2 cent renewal on there? I would say we are. I mean, it expires December 31st of this year. So if we don't put it on there, we lose it. So I think it only makes sense to put it on there. So I would say it's going to be on there, and that, this is a renewal, and we do road paving projects. We do park improvements. We've done all kind of sheriff's department vehicles, fire department vehicles. So there's a lot of things that are covered by this. Generates roughly $15 to $16 million a year, and it is a renewal of the current 1/2 cent.
And that's gonna okay. So the speed camera ordinance is going to be the actual vote on the ordinance. The local option sales tax is going to be to schedule the hearing for a future date. Do I have it right?
That's correct. Okay. April 23rd.
Very good. The last thing I wanted to ask you about, or maybe the last thing, I say it and I sometimes don't follow through my promise, is there was a big hubbub in the commission over, Rhett Rowell wanted to dedicate a portion of local option sales tax renewal to conservation. They ended up deciding not to do that, but instead wound up essentially voting, you correct me if I'm getting this wrong, essentially voting to protect the ongoing current level of funding that goes into land conservation for farmland and to task staff with going out to find other sources of revenue to amplify the ability of the county to either buy land outright or to buy, development rights or whatever the flavor of the particular solution would be, and then to use that money as leverage to seek grants in order to amplify the amount of impact you can have on conserving farmland. Do I have that basically right?
Yeah, you do. So we've been tasked to create a dedicated fund to move that money that the previous board had allocated. So there's $1.25 million in it now, and then the board had agreed year three, which would be next fiscal year, to put another $750,000, and then task us with identifying a recurring revenue source. And they also have said they want to create another conservation plan that addresses other lands of interest besides farmland. If you remember, we recently purchased a parcel down there off of Soundside, a wetland with a little kayak ability to come up in there. So we purchased that acreage. So things like that that are outside of the farmland conservation, we're going to create another program based on the board input and look at, wetland conservation, et cetera. And we've been very successful with our partnership with Trust for Public Land. We've acquired the 540-acre parcel there in Navarre, three different parcels, and then a little over 400 acres around Whitingfield and Clear Creek that we're planning walking trails, biking trails, et cetera, in.
And so, again, just for people who are kind of trying to make sense of it all, you have the Farmland Conservation Fund is A, and then you have the Wildlife/Nature/Recreation Conservation Fund is the one that you're still working to set up. And the total amount of funding for either of these as in an ongoing way is sort of to be determined, and the source of the funding is to be determined. But in all cases, it's trying to put some money into these things in order to accomplish those objectives and not to take it out of the local option sales tax renewal, at least not in a dedicated, we're not going to commit to having to do it that way. Is that all basically right?
I think the board is still going to decide kind of on that local option sales tax. Trust for Public Land did some polling, and it indicated that our citizens do prioritize conservation land. So right. I think that, we'll see what the 23rd brings and what the wording of the ballot language, but no identified percentage that's going to either one of those yet.
Very good. And then the key thing just from because I know we didn't cover this a lot on the radio, but the key thing that the commissioners did definitely agree on is whatever they want to do in that realm, nobody is willing or interested in coming out and reducing the amount of money that's going to be available for roads. Fair, right? That was it. That was a bright line announcement,
that
right?
That was a 100% consensus that we want no less going to roads, and if we can put more to roads, we will.
Absolutely. So the meeting is going to be on Thursday. That's tomorrow to follow up on some of those items. Brad, and the groundbreaking on the wastewater treatment plant package plant is today. Brad, as always, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate what you do, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, Andrew, take care.
Absolutely. Bye. 6:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. A lot of times you don't think about all of the dimensions. I mean, you're talking about, wastewater treatment. It's the kind of thing that a lot of times you don't think about. And you learn over years to think about more of this stuff, but you know who does think about all that stuff? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. When they are selling a home and they're helping you buy a home, they are thinking about all of the issues, and including, one of the things that doing this job has really taught me more and more about all the time is really thinking about future land use and zoning and opening up of development. And especially if you buy a home and you think it's on a dead end street, but that, land behind there is going to get developed. Well, guess what? Things are going to change for you. And being able to pay attention to all of those details, she'll help you with that too. Because sometimes what you want is somebody who's going to answer your questions. And great, of course. But don't you also want somebody who's going to help you ask better questions and then get good answers to those as well? And that's what Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty do. The experience is enormous. They sold 209 homes last year. The largest group selling residential real estate here in this area. It's unbelievable. Four homes a week, week after week. That's a lot of experience solving problems, navigating issues, and getting to the end result of a closing. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
In the time it takes to watch one episode of your favorite show, you could be approved for your auto loan. While your dinner's in the oven, you could be comparing rates. By the time your morning coffee is brewed,
Those keys to your new car could practically be in. Credit Union doesn't just process auto loans. We beam you straight into the driver's seat. Fast approvals, low rates, and easy financing. Apply now at penair.org/autoloans. Federally insured by NCUA.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Tickets for the third annual Night at the Museum Gala are on sale now for Friday night, May 8th, featuring special guest speaker, Vice Admiral Jeffrey Caesar Cherico. Table sponsorships are $1,400 all in, and individual tickets are $175, but you can save 20% at checkout with the promo code EARLYBIRD. Get tickets and all things Pensacola Navy Days at PensacolaNavyDays.org. Spend an evening of fine dining under the planes and support Pensacola Navy Days. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
We don't discuss business at the table.
Here on News Radio 92.3. I never did get to do St. Patrick's Day on the radio this year, so I feel like I got a little bit of a... Got to get my Dropkick Murphys in somehow. 656 day, David Wayne is waiting. I don't know why I'm saying his name. John Pickens has traffic on the...
That's right.
It's live radio, baby.
No accidents.
Go on, John.
No accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Looks like everything is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom patiently waiting and enduring my verbal abuse. Go ahead, David. What do you got?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. An Ohio man is the first person in the country to be convicted under a federal law on AI-generated pornography. James Strahler II admitted to using AI to generate inappropriate content of at least 6 women and sent those videos to the victim's coworkers. Delta Airlines is now increasing checked bag fees. They'll be charging $45 for the first checked bag on tickets purchased starting April 8th, and then the price continues to rise from there. The second checked bag now going up to $55. And rapper Offset is still in the hospital here in Florida. A representative says that... he is in stable condition at Memorial Regional Hospital in Hollywood. And Offset apparently is a former member of the Migos and was once married to Cardi B. If you don't know, I really don't know who this guy is.
This is the whitest news report I have ever heard in my life.
I've never heard of Offset. I'm trying
over here thinking like he has no idea. I don't know who these people
are.
Well,
people
I do know
either?
I do know that if Offset does manage to get out, he is scheduled to perform at my son's birthday party, you know, so I
okay, good. There you go. I try to keep
this
my,
couldn't be
my,
less yeah. meaningful to me if you'd have done it in
know.
You know, Spanish. It would have been just as meaningful to me.
Well, there, si, señor.
There, you, David, there
thanks,
you go.
Thanks for the update. Meanwhile, Saturday Night Live.
A top FEMA official revealed in an interview that he once mysteriously teleported to a Waffle House 50 miles away, which is a phenomenon better known as drunk driving.
Oh.
Pizza Hut in Canada is celebrating the start of baseball season with a new hot dog stuffed crust pizza. Hey, Canada, our culture is not your costume.
Oh, I love it. Oh,
wow.
And this I thought this was maybe one of the funniest that they had over the weekend. It, you know, the show was what it is normally, terrible. But Weekend Update at least had a few good ones. Michael Che.
The women's college basketball title game will be held tomorrow between UCLA and South Carolina. And no matter who wins, I hope that every one of those amazing athletes find a good husband.
See, the funny part about that joke is if you listen to what he actually says, it's an incredibly benign thing to say. I hope all these women find good husbands. That's just a very sweet, kind thing to say, sort of in context. Well, let's just say there's a couple of different ways you could take that joke. I'll just leave it at that. Department of War is supposed to be having a press conference coming up.
Carried it. 2.3.